Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Sometimes interpretation is everything. How you interpret a gesture or encounter, a facial expression, or a simple statement can bring relief or fear, confusion or clarity, pain or comfort. In the case of the story we just heard Pastor Calland read, for instance, everything hinges on how you interpret a single sentence, a single pronouncement that Jesus makes. Let's first set the scene. Jesus and his disciples have traveled into Samaria, a place that Jews usually avoid. Tired, Jesus waits by a well as his disciples go to get food. Shortly thereafter, a woman comes to draw water. Now, Jews and Samaritans do not get along at all. And women and men in this culture generally keep a safe social distance from each other. So she's not just surprised, but actually shocked when Jesus asks her for a drink of water. When she makes a remark to that effect, Jesus offers her what he calls living water. Confused, but also a little intrigued, she asks for some of this miraculous water, at which point he tells her to go call her husband and come back. And when she replies that she has no husband, he agrees. You are right in saying you have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. And there it is, the crux of this scene, as everything hinges on how you interpret that one sentence. You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Now, the popular interpretation is that this is a pronouncement of guilt, that Jesus is accusing the Samaritan woman of a wanton lifestyle, of having loose morals, of living in sin. That's how I grew up hearing it, and maybe you did too. If we interpret Jesus' words this way, everything else falls into place along the same lines. For instance, when the woman responds to Jesus' words by saying, "Sir, I see you are a prophet," we wonder if she's just trying to flatter him, hoping that now that they've gotten this uncomfortable subject out of the way, maybe he will just leave her alone. Or when she eventually leaves to tell others about Jesus, wondering if he's not just a prophet, but maybe the Messiah, we may suspect that it is in profound gratitude for the enormous sin he has just forgiven. What's nice about this interpretation is that all the pieces fit together neatly. We know who this woman is, or really, what this woman is. And so we can rejoice that a woman as wicked as this has found forgiveness, and then we can move on relatively untouched, just glad we're not like her. Yes, it is a nice and neat interpretation, except for one problem. Jesus does not seem to agree. Notice that at no point does Jesus mention wrongdoing. At no point does Jesus ask for repentance or offer forgiveness. At no point does Jesus say words familiar from so many other stories, "Go and sin no more." At no point, in fact, is the word sin even mentioned. So what is going on? Well, maybe this story isn't about wrongdoing, but rather about personal tragedy. It could be that this woman was widowed. Five times would be profoundly sad, but not impossible in the ancient world. Or it could be that she was unable to have children, a condition that was considered a curse in the first century, and she could have been passed from one husband to another, each divorcing her for what was considered a character flaw, and now dependent on some relative. The truth is, we don't know. All of these interpretations and more are possible. But John the Evangelist doesn't tell us. All he tells us is that Jesus sees this woman not for what she is or what she has done, but for who she is, a child of God. Jesus, that is, already seems to know what has happened to her and has compassion for her. He neither shuns nor shames her, but instead recognizes her tragedy, and in seeing her, he accepts her and frees her. Seeing is a pretty big deal in John's gospel. In last week's story, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he witnesses only to a truth that he himself has seen. In a couple more weeks, we will hear the story of Jesus granting sight to a man born blind. And when the religious authorities kick this man out of the synagogue, Jesus will accuse them of being blind, of not being able to see. In today's story, Jesus sees a woman others have ignored or misinterpreted or judged all her life, and it makes all the difference. If we read the story this way, everything changes. When she says, "Sir, I see you are a prophet," she's acknowledging his authority. Jesus first sees her as a person, as someone with worth and value, as someone who has suffered greatly and deserves compassion. In return, she is able to see him not just as a man or as a Jew or as a foreigner or a stranger or the 100 other ways she might have seen him. Instead, she sees he is a prophet, one called by God to tell the truth. And she begins to wonder if he might just be the Messiah. No wonder that she goes then to tell her neighbors. She has been seen, valued, validated, understood, and so she just can't wait to tell others about him. In fact, she's in such a hurry to go and tell that she leaves her water jar, the whole reason she came to the well in the first place, behind. And in John's gospel, she is the first person beyond Jesus' disciples who tell others about Jesus, and many people, John writes, many Samaritans believed because of her testimony. So maybe you're wondering why I care so much about how we read and interpret this story. I mean, it's just one story, one character, just a little part of a much larger gospel. Well, partly it is because I think this woman deserves to be understood, to be valued for who she is and recognized, seen, for what she does. I mean, I have a daughter, a wife, sisters, many colleagues and friends who are women, and I want them to live in a world where they are truly seen, valued for who they are, and given every opportunity that my son and brothers and male friends and colleagues enjoy, and I bet you want the same. But I'm also struck just now at how much rides on interpretation, our interpretations. A lot of people in our congregation and community, our city and state, are hurting right now, are afraid of what is happening and what may come. And the interpretations that we make about people and issues, actions and words, matter. Is someone undocumented or illegal, seeking asylum, or avoiding the law? Are the children and families we know are living in hiding a threat, needlessly afraid, or people who deserve our compassion and help? I will admit at this point, being reasonably confident of my own opinion, that I am sorely tempted to tell us how we should all interpret this matter and answer these questions. And maybe you feel the same. Yet each of us needs to come to our own conclusions, to make our own interpretations, guided, I believe, by the Holy Spirit and our life together. So while I can't tell you how to answer these questions, I can, though, offer two words of counsel. First, when I was thinking about today's story about the Samaritan woman, I was reminded of Martin Luther's translation of the other great story in the New Testament about a Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. When it came to translating the pivotal word in that parable, neighbor, as in who is my neighbor, Luther chose not the common German word Nachbar, which means the person living nearby, but rather the word Nachster, which means the person in need. By choosing that word, Luther asserts that Jesus' command to love your neighbor applies to everyone, even and especially those who are seen as strangers or enemies, that is, in this context, Samaritans, rather than just those who are near you. Second, I suspect that some of you here this morning, women and men, young and old, well off or struggling, some of you this morning may wonder if God sees you or cares about what you're going through. Maybe you wonder if anyone sees you and knows who you really are, or maybe you wonder if anyone sees the brave face that you put on each day to hide a level of hurt or fear or uncertainty that you can scarce admit to yourself, let alone share with others. If that is the case, I have news for you. Jesus sees you, just as he saw this woman, just as he always sees those who are in need. Interpretation matters. Our interpretations matter. Yet wherever you may land on the questions I ask, know this. Jesus sees you, knows you, cares about you, loves you, and will not give up on you, ever. Everything we do at this congregation is meant to share this incredible, life-giving, life-changing news with all the world, starting with you. The story about living water, of seeing and being seen, you see, is not over. John told it both to remember and honor this woman and so that it might become true for you, enabling you to see yourself and those around you as beloved children of God. So hear and believe Jesus' promise that you belong to God, and then go and see just what you might become and do through the grace and mercy that we know in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.